Chapter 6, The Big Whale Hunt. Life can be very lonely at sea. Weeks go by, and you don't see anyone other than the members of the crew. But every now and then, we were lucky enough to meet another ship. One day, southeast of the Cape of Good Hope, we saw another whaler, the Albatross, which was sailing towards home. Everything about the Albatross showed she had spent too many months at sea, too much rough weather, too much sea and salt. She had been away whaling for 4 years, and her crew looked weathered too. The captains of both ships normally stop and talk with one another, and this is called a gam. The gam is a time when the two captains and their crews can exchange a few friendly words and find out about their whaling. But Ahab didn't like gams, because they took time away from hunting Moby Dick, his only thought. So when we saw the Albatross, he shouted,
"Ahoy! Have you seen the white whale?"
The captain of the other ship wanted to answer, but his trumpet fell into the sea, so that was the end of the gam. The crew was not happy about this, because the men needed to see and talk to other sailors. As time went on, the white whale began to obsess our minds too. We started seeing it everywhere. One clear blue morning, the Pequod was sailing towards Java through a bright yellow area of plankton. Degoo thought he saw Moby Dick and shouted,
"There! There he is! Right ahead! The white whale!"
Captain Ahab and everyone else rushed to take a look. But to everyone's disappointment, particularly Ahab's, the enormous creature of the sea was a giant squid. This amazing creature was a soft mass of cream-colored flesh with innumerable long arms that grew out of its body and curled and twisted. It slowly disappeared into the deep sea again.
"What was it?"
asked Flask.
"It was the great squid, the biggest creature in the universe. Few whaling ships have ever seen it. And it's an evil omen,"
said Starbuck, his eyes wide with horror. But Queequeg didn't agree.
"No,"
he said.
"When you see giant squid, then you quick see whales."
Ahab had already gone back to his cabin. The giant squid was not remarkable to him. Nothing held interest for him, only the white whale. Nothing touched his soul. Only Moby Dick. The next day, it was extremely hot and still. It was my turn to stand watch. And all was still in that part of the Indian Ocean. I had been on the masthead for hours, and I was growing sleepy. Suddenly, I saw a gigantic sperm whale, its shiny body rolling in the water like an overturned ship. It seemed to be as sleepy as I was. Could it be Moby Dick? I observed it carefully. No, it wasn't white. It wasn't Moby Dick. But it was a majestic creature.
"There she blows!"
a sailor cried, and the sleepy ship came to life.
"Lower the boats!"
cried Ahab. I climbed into Stubbs' boat this time and was excited about this new whaling adventure. Today, I could hunt my first whale. The sudden cries of the crew and the movement of the boats probably scared the gigantic creature, and he started swimming away. He spouted majestically a few times, and then suddenly he lifted his tail 40 feet into the air and sank into the deep water.
"There he goes under,"
cried Stubb with his pipe in his mouth.
"Don't hurry. Take it slowly. We're almost on him now."
We rowed with all of our strength.
"Stand up, Tashtego,"
cried Stubb.
"Give it to him now."
Tashtego's muscular arm threw the harpoon, and it struck the whale perfectly. The harpoon was attached to a long rope on the bottom of the boat, and the rope started flying out of the boat, following the harpoon. It burned as it passed through our hands. Stubb stood up and held the rope.
"Wet the rope,"
he cried.
"Wet the rope."
Now we were attached to the whale, and our boat flew through the water as he swam away. desperately trying to get free, each man held tightly to his seat. Then Tashtego and Stubb took their harpoons. We got closer to the whale, and Stubb threw his first harpoon at the whale, and then a second one, and then another. The whale swam more slowly now, and we brought the boat closer. The whale's life was almost over, but he tried to escape and survive with all the strength he had left. Stubb threw harpoon after harpoon into the whale's side. Blood began to shoot out, and it covered all of us. I had never seen so much blood in my life. The whale blew the last huge spouts of spray at us and fought until the end. What a strange and tragic sight. A great life was ending before my eyes. The sea around the boat turned red with the whale's blood. Stubb brought the boat closer to the whale and pushed his lance deep into it, piercing his heart.
"He's dead, Mr. Stubb,"
said Tashtego.
"Yes,"
said Stubb, taking the pipe out of his mouth and shaking the ashes over the sea. He stood there thoughtfully looking at the huge body.